American Legion was holding a meeting, a convention down here in Tampa at the time. So he went down there and got in with one of the fellows, the leaders of it, and got him to serve rattlesnake meat on the menu in the luncheon. Well, they didn't tell him what they were going to eat until after it was all over, but so many of them liked it until he got to selling all the rattlesnake meat he could can and bring in. So he moved from Arcadia and moved over between St. Petersburg and Tampa over there, and the post office department was good enough to give him a post office name of Rattlesnake, Florida. But finally, Mr. N got too friendly with one of the snakes, and the snake bit him and killed him. But then on down here, we have some more famous people down here. A lot of people in Florida, but I'm going to skip them right now and talk about a man that's actually, we should take our hats off to him. That is the old country doctor. The old country doctor, he forded swollen streams, and he braved storms to welcome our ancestors into this world, always taking nothing more with him than a little black bag full of pills and a baby or two. Well, we ought to respect him more than we do. You didn't have to get down on your knees and beg for a date in his gilded office. He'd come to you anywhere. And when baby was born during the night, this old doctor, he'd eat breakfast with the family, eat out of chipped dishes, and he would eat whatever the family eat, drink black coffee there sometimes with no milk to wash it down with, and eat most anything come along. But I did know one doctor. That was Dr. Kennedy up at Birmingham, Alabama. He said he did refuse to eat possum for breakfast one morning. But anyway, these old-time doctors, one night I was walking along a clay road, the rain was pouring, and I was slipping and sliding in the mud there, and an old Ford running on two cylinders pulled up beside me, and the voice inside said, "Get in." Well, I said, "Mister, I'm too wet to get in your car." He says, "You're not a bit wetter than I am." I said, "Get on in here." I got in that Model T Ford with the curtains pulled around it. There was old Dr. Miller of Chipley, Florida, sitting in one puddle. His little black bag was sitting in the other. He said he'd been down below Vernon, Florida, to deliver a baby that should have been delivered by boat. And he said if he'd had him with him then, and that black bag, said the baby would have been drowned by then. Now, when he went to your home, he didn't look kind of and frown at the castor oil bottle sitting on the hearth or the row of pills around the mantel shelf and on the dining room table. He didn't have anything to say about that because he knew that the medicine that he sold in his pills were made up of the same kind of things. Now here's another doctor with a different idea. I never knew of his losing a case. He'd go to maternity cases all over Brooks County, Georgia. That's just above the Florida line. And always the first thing he did when he went to a maternity case, he would kneel beside the mother's bed and put up a prayer. And he never lost a case that I ever knew of, and I knew him for years. But then he had an old Studebaker, big car, and he had an exhaust horn on it. It was about 4 feet long and about 6 inches in diameter. This old exhaust horn lay right up on his right-hand front fender. I mean, you heard that horn going back into Georgia, into Marvin, Georgia, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody was bound to wonder, well, I wonder who's got a new baby this morning, because everybody knew Doc's horn. And these old country doctors, they would perform operations on the dining room table. If you had the money, why, they'd take that. If you didn't have the money, they would take chickens, eggs, or whatever you could pay them in. Sometimes they'd take corn, have it ground in the meal. The doctors of that day, they were not above eating cornbread, because some of them had to. And I don't know of a better breed of humanity than the old-time country doctors were. We should all respect them. I knew one doctor. He moved from Chipley, Florida, up here to Fort Myers back about 1922, the old Dr. W.H. Grace. Doc went to a lady out there one time that was down with pneumonia during the 1918 flu epidemic. She had pneumonia bad, and he was expecting her to die, but he went back one morning, and she was very much improved. Well, she was felt so good that she wanted to talk. And she said, "Oh, Doc," he says, "you know my cow out here, such a cow she named?" He said, yeah. He said, "But I want you to see my new calf before you go back to town." Doc said, "The calf," he says, "I've been treating you for pneumonia." And so those old-time doctors, they were something else. I had a cousin up here in Georgia, he fell in through the button saw box in the sawmill and mangled his foot until the foot had to come off. Well, they had to haul him 7 miles to town to a country doctor. That was all there was around. We didn't have a hospital in southern Georgia at that time. And they poured him full of whiskey at the mill. It was 7 miles of town on a 4-mule wagon. They poured him full of whiskey right on into town. And when they got in there to the doctor's office, the doctor didn't have a thing that would knock him out at all. He said, just go ahead and cut it off, Doc. He said, I don't feel anything. And that was back in 1900, a good long time ago. And so he sat there and watched the doctor cut that foot off and sew it up. Last time I heard of him, he never would wear an artificial leg. So the last time I heard of him, he was playing the fiddle out over WSB in Atlanta and beating time with his peg leg. So we have some tough characters down here in Florida, right down here in Branford, just down the Shawanee River. A man got cut bad in the sawmill one time, and a couple of his ribs were hanging out, looked like spare ribs. So he asked some of the fellas to cut that rib off out of the way. He said he was tired of looking at it. The fella wouldn't do it. He reached up and grabbed a knife out of one of them's hammer and said, I'll cut it off myself and feed the catfish on it, and he did. So we have seen some life down here. Like I told you today about this old moonshiner, you can't down a Florida cracker. That's why the gators don't eat them. They can't get them down. If they do, they can't keep them down. And now, there's been a lot of tales told, and a lot of people have laughed at me for being a frog hunter. A lot of them want to know where I got that nickname of frog. Well, during the Depression, I had a son who was unlucky enough to be born then. I fed him so many bullfrog legs, he developed a bullfrog voice. He's got a gospel singing group today. And they wonder how I got this name. I caught enough frogs in one night in the Everglades of Florida to dress out a barrel of frog legs. Then when the frogs would get scared, I'd start shooting rabbits for a change. I ship rabbits out of the Everglades by the barrel. You may not believe it, but I stood in one potato patch one night, and without moving, I shot 76 rabbits. We had a few of them down there. They were almost as thick as the mosquitoes were down in South Florida. Now, people today never saw mosquitoes like we used to have. When they were building that big Hoover dike around Lake Okeechobee, mosquitoes, chizzywinks, and other night flying insects were so plentiful down there until they shut one of the biggest dredges on Lake Okeechobee down, a big hydraulic dredge. It had 4 fire doors, 4 feet in diameter, those fire doors were, and 4 of them. And they were covered in hardware cloth, screen mesh, to keep the bugs out of there and keep anybody from falling in. Mosquitoes and chizzywinks and pumpkin bugs all gathered up on that night so thick they shut the air off. And the steam went down, they had to shut the dredge down. Now, here's one I just heard. You may want to put a little salt on me if I tell it, but I won't vouch for it. Said this old farmer down there in the Everglades, he had just a regular old shanty, and said there was so many mosquitoes came there and got the supper off of him every night, and he finally got tired of it and screened his house. Mosquitoes came by there and couldn't get in through that screen. They got so mad they went off and caught a bunch of sandflies and poked them through the holes. Well, I thought I was getting along pretty well frog hunting down there. And one night the moon went in eclipse and it was pretty dark and my light was dim. I walked out on a high bunch of what looked like a pile of dirt, but it was a bunch of dried sawgrass, and I fell through into about 50 wild razorback hogs in a hog bed down under that. They had bunched up under that wire at a sawgrass to get out of the mosquitoes. Well, I don't know who was scared the worst, me or that bunch of hogs there. They all went in all directions, and I couldn't follow them because my light was out, and I lost my frogs, broke my paddle. So I was awful time down there. Well, I went out one night from Clewiston down there, and the boys used to always meet me in the morning. How many did you get? I'd tell them I forgot to count them. Well, now, you don't have to believe this next if you don't want to. But I went out one night in there, and I brought in about 100 frogs, and they were all different sizes, from little ones to big ones. And the one next to the little one swallowed that little frog. The one just above that one swallowed him, and the next one swallowed him. When I got home, I only had one old frog left in his bag, and he was still hungry. But, you know, people down there now are going to eat an alligator. They'll eat alligator tail. It tastes something like sand shark. I don't care for either one because it don't taste right for me. I love catfish down there. And I started catfishing down there in the St. John's River, and then from there on I went to the Everglades, and I catfished down there. And In fact, I ate so many catfish I learned to swim. But if you go down there in the Everglades now, meet those Indians. I'll tell you, those Indians are fine people if they like you. But don't irritate them if they don't like you. But one Indian down there, his name was John Hall. He lived at Lakeport, Florida. He wanted to be a good citizen, and so he decided he was going to learn to be a white citizen. And when his baby was to be born, he sent in to Moorhaven and got old Dr. Mitchell to come out there. Well, old Dr. Mitchell drove his Ford 12 miles to Lakeport, and that was as far as he could drive, so he got on horseback and went way back out in the cabbage hammocks. Well, the baby was born all right, but there was two of them. Next day, somebody met John in Moorhaven and asked him, said, John, said, how you like the white man doctor? Says, me no like him. Said, him bring him too many papoose. Well, no matter how the doctors treat us, we all have to play the fiddler in time. Some of us got to go. One night, after my buddy and me had got kicked out of the boarding house about raising such a fuss, the landlady gave us a quilt and put us down at the mill to sleep in the sawdust. I heard somebody hammering around there about midnight, and I got up and kicked some life in my buddy sleeping beside me, and I went around to see what it was. And they were building a coffin. Some said the coffin was too short. Others said it was too long, and they wanted to measure me for the coffin. Well, I agreed to that, so they put the ruler right up beside me and measured the coffin, and it was all right. They said it was plenty long enough for the lady. But to prove it and make sure, I laid down in the coffin, and while the carpenter was making the lid, I went to sleep. See, we used to build a lot of homemade coffins down here, and when anybody died in our neighborhood, people would gather in from miles around there to sit up with the corpse on the last night before we buried it. And some of them would wash and dress the corpse while others built up a coffin. And that was the first time some of those old-timers ever had a bath of good, sweet soap, and no wonder they smelled better dead than alive. But now that's all past and gone, and the undertaker is taking over. He'll plant them, and he'll guarantee they won't come back. And that's perfectly all right for me, because I never had any desire whatever to give anybody a bath, especially a lady, when she can't say, I thank you.
The next group here on the in the amphitheater stage is going to be a special treat for us. We have with us Reverend Robert Brown from Jacksonville, who is a member of the Dixie Jubilees, and with him are the Mighty Singing Wonders, a gospel group also from Jacksonville. Both Reverend Brown and the Singing Wonders come out of the old-time gospel quartet tradition, which one lady in Jacksonville told me that Jacksonville was, as she put it, the hub-nub city for gospel music, for black gospel music in the southeastern part of the U.S. ever since the early 30s and the late 20s. So we're really being able to hear something here which is of a tradition that's, 50, 60 years old by now, and has its roots even further than that in such things as old-time barbershop quartet singing, late 19th century parlor songs. It's got a real long history. So I'd like to present to you now Reverend Brown of the Dixie Jubilees and the Singing Wonders from Jacksonville. This is their first time here at the festival, so let's give them an extra special welcome.
Justin. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everyone. We're going to sing for you tonight, and we're going to talk about love. You see, I want y'all to do me a favor before we start singing. I want you to reach around, touch somebody, and say, I love you. Let's say it again. Say, I love you. Truly, we got the love down here if we expect to go up to heaven, right? Truly, this afternoon, I want y'all to know that love lifted me. I was sinking sin. Far from the peace for sure. Verily stained deep within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, saying, man, I say, Lord,
lifted me,
love, talking about God, love.
Ladies and gentlemen, and a pleasant how do you do. This is Reverend Robert E. Brown, the minister of there, bringing you the news, previews of the gospel singing world. And these great singers bringing to you the gospel in song, as only the Almighty God can endow them power to do so. And after sitting under these great artists' voice, you will say that surely music has charms, and there must be a heaven somewhere.
Let everybody say amen. We're going to move right along and try to have a wonderful time in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you love him? I'm speaking about Jesus. Everybody ought to love him tonight. He's the Savior of the world. Do you believe that? Who believe in Jesus tonight? Say yes. Listen. Do you love? Oh. Do you love
him?
Oh,
do
you love Jesus? I'm talking about God's Son. Oh, Lord. Do you love him? Everybody ought to be able to love him tonight. Do you? Now. Oh, Lord. And here's another thing I'd like to ask you. Do you serve him? Do you serve him? Oh, do you serve Jesus? I'm talking about God's Son. Lord, I'm missing out. Do you serve? Do you serve? Lord. Oh, yes, I love him. I don't mind the word knowing about it. I'm not ashamed to own it. I'm not ashamed to own it nowhere I go. I serve him, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God, son. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. Do you serve him?
Tonight, love the Lord. Let me see you wave a hand that you all love. Know that you love the Lord tonight. Ain't he good? Let me tell you, is God good? Want to make a way out of no way. You know, I've never heard a man. You know, I heard a lot of people talk. I've heard a lot of people speak. I've heard a lot of folks say a lot of things and promise a lot of things for you. But in all the days of my life, I've never heard a man speak like this man before. This man I'm talking about is Jesus. Now we're going to kind of move a little bit. Let's move along with us this evening. Oh, you know I never heard of a man speak like this man before. Said I never heard a man speak like this man before. All the days of my life, ever since I've been born, I never heard a man speak like this man before. God spoke to me one day, and these the words he said. He said, I'll make you free and whole. If you'll never be afraid, said I'll make your burden lighter. Said I'll make your pathway brighter. I'll never heard a man speak like this man before. Nicodemus went to the Lord, went to the Lord. By night, he said, if you ever quit me, master, would you show me to the light? Nicodemus, I tell you like a friend, the only way, you gotta be born again. Said, I never heard a man, and I never heard a man. All the days of my life, said I never heard a man speak like this man before.
Let everyone say amen. Let everyone say amen again. I know you are not afraid, and I know you are not ashamed to serve a God like mine. One day, I hope that each and every one will be able to take a trip to that land of milk and honey. And I'm going to ask everybody here to get into this little number. I'm going, and my Savior's going with me. Great God, shall we go in? land of my Savior. Where are we gonna fly? And my loved ones waiting. Part of my dream, when I get to glory, all of my trouble will be. Then I'm gonna walk back in and make myself at home. Yes, oh great God, I'm gonna walk back in and make myself great. God be going, and my Savior going. Oh, well, we gonna fly. Loved ones waiting for me. Oh, well, and when I get to great God Almighty, my trouble will be over. Then I'm gonna walk in and make myself at home. Yes, oh Lord, well, I'm gonna walk in and make myself at home. Going back to the early 40s. Recognizing a great gospel singer and composer in the one Mr. Otis Jackson, who wrote this song about World War Number Two. Some of you may remember, some may not remember, but this is a little story tell how that war got started. Oh, what a time. What a time. Oh, what a time. Well, what a time. Right here, and I want everyone in the audience, I want you to help me. And you can help me by doing this. Everybody put your hands together like this. Oh, what a time. What a time. Oh, what a time, great God Almighty. Oh, what a time. It's in 1941. The Second World War had just begun. Hitler from Berlin stretched out his paw. He brought the European nations into war. Hitler himself went out the plan in a dreadful place they call no man's land. But he told his men, you need not fear, because me myself will be the engineer. And now I have a little patience, let me tell you the news. The first thing he done, he put out all the Jews. The next thing he done to the European land, he brought all the small nations under his command. Then he and France began to fight. He took beautiful Paris late one night. Oh, Great Britain, she got trouble in mind. She went to forcing the men upon the firing line, crying, what a time.
Oh, my Lord.
What a time.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, well, what a time.
Great
God Almighty.
Lord.
Oh, what a time. And there's old Japan with a sharp eye. Pretend she was on either side. Came to the new United States, you would not argue, but she sneaked around, then she bumped Pearl Harbor. I don't know, but I've been told just how Pearl Harbor Air Base got stole. Way down around that Pacific border, a different community commanders wouldn't carry out orders. Some was high, some was low. Some say they wasn't gonna fly no more. But the Japs bummed the ships from under their belly. Our first hero was Captain Kelly. When his mother got the news, I know she cried, but he won his medal before he died. Said the ration of the sugar and the gasoline, you better get your mind on the European. It's a little more serious than we believe. You don't want to be governed by the Japanese, but I don't know which one's the worst. But you tell me, old Hitler don't like the church. Say, what kind of world without a church? Say, it's trouble now and it can be worse, and we'll have a time.
Oh, my
Lord. What a time.
Oh, my Lord.
We'll put a time in. Great God Almighty, we'll put a time.
Thank you.
I know you enjoyed that. Let me see you wave your hands. You enjoyed that one. Wasn't that nice? We're gonna move right along.
Well, you know I gave my heart to Jesus. What about you?
What about you?
Said I gave my heart to Jesus. What about you?
What about you?
Said, Lord, take and use me. And that all that I can do. Said I gave my, yeah, oh,
what about you?
What about you?
What about you?
Oh, Lord.
What about you?
What about you?
What about you?
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
You know I gave my heart to Jesus. What about you?
What about you?
What about you?